Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There was a family who once kept a picture hanging on the wall in the middle of their living room. It wasn't expensive, just an old black and white photograph of their grandparents on their wedding day. It wasn't famous art, but it meant something. It captured who they were, where they came from, and what their family was built on. In a quiet way, that picture was part of their identity. Then one day, during a move, someone bumped the wall. The frame slipped, hit the floor, and that was all it took. The glass cracked, splintering across their faces. Then, because of that, the frame was bent. And when they opened the back of the frame to inspect it, the damage that they found was a deep, deep crease running straight through the photograph. The image was still there, recognizable, familiar, but damaged, distorted, even painful to look at. But they hung it back up anyway. Felt wrong to take it down. Every time they walked past it, they saw the fracture. The brokenness became part of the room, part of the story. Whether they said it out loud or not, every glance at that picture whispered, "It's not what it used to be." Eventually, they grew used to it. The crack faded into the background until someone said, "Let's take it to a restoration shop." They doubted it would help. "You can't really fix something like this," they said. "Maybe you can hide it, but not undo it." But they took it anyway. A week later, they got the call. The shop had rebuilt the frame, replaced the glass, and restored the creases in the picture so gently that the damage disappeared to the naked eye. And when they hung it back up, one of them said, "We never realized how broken it really was until we saw it restored." That is the human condition. That is the story of sin. That is the story of Advent. God entering a world that still bears his fingerprints, but where the image has been cracked, bent, and distorted. Tonight, God's word takes us to just that theme, the image. When we turn to Habakkuk, we meet a man staring at a cracked picture. No figs on the tree, no fruit on the vines, olives failing, fields empty, flocks gone, barns silent. Everything that once made life feel secure is gone. Everything that made Israel look blessed has collapsed. Everything that made the picture look right has been stripped away. Habakkuk stands in front of that emptiness and he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Not because things look good, not because the picture is fixed, not because he can see how God will work it out. He rejoices because the Restorer is coming. Habakkuk says the most upside-down, world-reversing thing ever. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Once again, it's not because of what he sees, not because of how he feels. He rejoices in the God who enters the broken frame. Advent is about, with everything that we see, when everything looks lost, that God is nearer more than ever. Habakkuk sees a collapse, but he believes the promise. And this is the first great reversal of Advent. Faith rejoices not in the picture, but in the one who can restore it. And tonight, we chanted Psalm 2. And it fits this theme perfectly, because Psalm 2 shows us why the world looks cracked. The nations rage, the peoples plot, the kings take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. This is the cracked image on a global scale. Humanity resists the true image of God. "Let us burst their bonds apart," they say. In other words, we don't want God's image. We want our own. But God's answer is not panic or compromise. He says, I have set my king on Zion. And so while the world resists the image, God installs the image. While nations rage, God enthrones his son. And then the line that prepares us for Christmas, that you are my son, today I have begotten you. Psalm 2, you see, announces the true image, the son coming into the world, coming to reclaim and restore what Adam shattered. While Habakkuk sees the collapse, Psalm 2 shows the rage behind it. But both point to the same solution, the Son whom God sends. Now, turning to the epistle, Paul explains why the world is cracked to the church at Corinth. In that passage, he answers our questions. If we were to ask, well, why is the picture cracked? Why does the world feel bent, creased, and distorted? Why do our own hearts so often reflect something less than what God intended? Because we have borne the image of the man of dust. You see, Adam's fall put a crease straight through humanity. We still look like God's creation, but we no longer look as humanity was meant to be. We carry fear, pride, self-righteousness, insecurity, guilt, anger. And every virtue has a shadow. Every love has conditions, and every strength has weakness. We look at our lives and think, I am not what I was meant to be. But Paul, you see, doesn't stop with the crack. He gives the promise. We shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Here comes that great reversal again. The image himself, Christ, enters the frame. He becomes what we are. He takes our dust, hunger, weakness, temptation, and he restores what Adam ruined. The image itself comes to remake the image in us. Christ became man to restore the image that we shattered in Adam, but not to tape it together, not to improve it, but to restore it. Already in your baptism, the restoration begins. Already in the Word, the Spirit reshapes us. And already in the supper, the image feeds us his image, that we are bearers with himself. One day, Paul says, we shall bear the image of that man of heaven. Of course, that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in the gospel, it's where John, in chapter 1, takes us back before creation, behind the scenes, before any image existed to lose or to break. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The eternal image already existed, perfect, radiant, and unbroken. And now the light shines in the darkness. The image enters the shattered picture, and the Creator enters his creation. The Restorer then enters the ruin. So Advent tells us that God has not abandoned us. And God does not abandon his damaged picture. He just steps into it. God takes on flesh, not because the image is salvageable, but because he will restore it. He becomes what we are so that we may be restored to what he is. Not divine, but restored to his righteousness, his life, his holiness, his fellowship. In Advent, we watch the eternal Word step down into the cracked frame of humanity, and then begin mending the picture from the inside. See, the manger is the workshop of the Restorer, and the flesh of Jesus is the place where the image begins again. As we sing, we did sing the song, Let Us All With Gladsome Voice, and that hymn fits Habakkuk's confession. We rejoice before the restoration is visible, because the Restorer has come. And we're going to sing, Come Thou Precious Ransom, Come. That's an Advent hymn there, and it's chosen because it fits with Psalm chapter 2 and the promise that Paul gives us, that only the true image can restore the image. Only the man of heaven can remake the men of dust. So I ask you, what does this mean when you walk back into your life? Yeah, that's what you do every time you come to church and on Sundays, leave this place. You're going back into your life. We have such a nice, calm, cherished life here inside God's house. But what does it mean, Pastor, when you go back outside? Tell me what to do. Now, I'm just going to tell you it means that your cracks are real. Your sins, your regrets, your wounds, your losses, the disappointments, the broken relationships, the anxiety, the grief, spiritual weakness. Yes, we are all looking at a picture with a long crease in it. But that's not the final version. You are seeing the damaged image, but not yet the restored one. Remember, Advent tells us that the restorer has come, that the image has returned to the frame, and the great reversal has begun. And then one day, like that family staring at the restored photograph, we will finally see what we could never see in the middle of the damage, how broken we were, and how beautifully he has restored us. And only when he comes to restore us does the true image come fully into focus. And until then, we wait, we watch, we hope, we rejoice with Habakkuk, we cling to Paul's promise, and we walk in John's light. For the image himself has come, and he is coming again. In the name of Jesus, amen.